Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today we have a very special guest, Leila Sansour. Did I say your name correctly, Leila?
Leila Sansour.
Sansour.
Almost.
First of all, thank you for coming in here because you've come to us all the way from the Holy Land, from Bethlehem in particular. And you're here to acquaint the people of the United States, and particularly those in Southern California, with the plight of Christians in the Holy Land. But before we begin, I'd like us to begin with a word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with us today, helping us to do your will and to open our hearts and minds, our ears and our mouths, that we would truly accomplish your will and to bring your Holy Spirit a little more clearly to those around us. We ask you to be with Leila, that she would find the words to inspire people to pay more attention to the plight of the Christians that are in the Holy Land, and help us today to explore a little more of that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, with that in mind, first of all, Leila, I want to thank you for coming in. You're part of a very special program that has come to the Diocese of Orange. Can you tell us just a little bit about, first of all, the program you're involved with, and then we'll talk a little bit more about a special video that you've got going on. What's the program that you're involved with?
Well, I'm a founder of an organization called Open Bethlehem, which we established in 2005 with the view to taking Bethlehem to the wider world. We know that people very often come to Bethlehem and visit Bethlehem. But often even those who visit don't seem to have the opportunity to see all the aspects of Bethlehem, to get acquainted with the communities of Bethlehem and of life and challenges that we face. And so we want to take Bethlehem to the world, particularly the Christian communities in this world, and establish a new connection, establish a new understanding of what it means to be a Bethlehemite today, what it means to live in this very special place, this iconic city, the magical place called Bethlehem. I spent the last 10 years documenting the situation of Bethlehem, putting together, if you wish, a portrait of this city between past and present, between what it is today as a city and between the maybe imaginary, legendary status that it lives represents in people's minds. I mean, most Christians in the world know Bethlehem almost only through the nativity scenes and Christmas carols. They don't know the real Bethlehem, the real town. And I think building this connection with the real town is not just as magical, it's more magical than just the Christmas carols and the nativity scenes. And we want to bring that connection to people's minds. So I spent 10 years making this film, and it's a personal story blended in with the story of a city. It's a double autobiography, so to speak. And we released this film in cinemas in the UK first. It was extremely well received. It played very widely in the UK. It was also screened by many, many churches in the UK. And I've just come from Washington, where the film was screened first at the Washington National Cathedral, now in Orange County, to screen the film here.
So before we get too much into the actual substance of the film itself, let's acquaint our listening audience a little bit with the situation in Bethlehem proper. Bethlehem is not that far away from Jerusalem, but it's not actually in the Jewish part of Israel. It's may as well be 1,000 miles away in some ways. Tell us a little bit about the situation politically in Bethlehem right now.
Well, it's an interesting that you ask this question because we, about in 2007, we carried out a poll in the United States to try and find out how much Christians in America or Americans in general knew about where is Bethlehem, what is happening there, who lives there, what language is spoken there. And we found out that the majority of people didn't know.
They don't know squat about Bethlehem.
No.
No, they really don't.
And that was quite a big wake-up call for us. Yeah. I mean, we thought we are one of these most important cities in the world, and yet even Christians don't know where we are. And Bethlehem is in the Palestinian territories. It is not in Israel. So the majority or the population of Bethlehem is made out of Muslims and Christians. And this is the population has been the case for like centuries now.
So when we've had situations in the past where we've seen the discord between Israel and the Palestinian territories, Bethlehem has been on the Palestinian territory side of those disputes.
Yes.
So it's not part of Israel, which means it has lots and lots of other issues and problems, social problems as well.
Yes, of course. But of course, I mean, the other issue that you raised, we as a community, I come from a Palestinian Catholic family. And obviously, my family can trace its roots to more than 500 years ago in Bethlehem. But then we have relatives in Jerusalem, and all our community is inextricably linked to our communities in Jerusalem, the Christian communities in Jerusalem. And it's the two cities have been interdependent for centuries, and they built as we are one part of one diocese, that's to start with. But we are economically interlinked. The, like, say, medical services, specialist medical services have always been provided and built in Jerusalem for people in Bethlehem. The education system is divided in such a way that some of the educational, but if you pursue, for example, university education, often people came from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to study, and families are completely interlinked. So the most recent events and the conflict has recently torn these two cities apart, and that is an extreme challenge to our survival.
How far apart are they physically from each other, Jerusalem and Bethlehem?
Normally, it should be 15 minutes by car, the most. It's 5-6 miles.
But you've got a checkpoint in between and
exactly.
a few barriers in between. Tell us a little bit about that. What's it like to have to go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem or Jerusalem to Bethlehem? What would you see as you are traveling one way or the other?
Well, in 2004, when I started making this film, Israel started building a wall, which sadly is currently almost complete in Bethlehem, but not quite. And the wall is built quite deep into Bethlehem territories, often surrounding densely populated areas rather than on the border between Israel and Palestine. It also means that the wall is built in such a way that separates, as I said, Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And we have to, in order for us to go to pray in Jerusalem or to go and visit or carry out our business, normal business in Jerusalem, we have to go through military checkpoints, which means, again, that we have to apply for military permits from Israel to allow us to go into Jerusalem and vice versa. Well, not quite vice versa in that Jerusalemites don't necessarily need permits, but we do. But that also means that we don't always get these permits. There's always quotas. The situation changes. So it often disrupts life for many, many people in terms of their business, in terms of their ability to seek medical help, in terms of going to pray. So the wall certainly is a huge challenge and a huge, it's one of the recent developments and expressions of the conflict that is a tragic expression for us.
So this would be as if we put a wall somewhere in between the freeway, between the Garden Grove Cathedral area all the way down to Irvine. And if we were to have a wall separating Irvine from Garden Grove. That's kind of similar to what you've got here. About the same distance, about 15 minutes away. But if you had military checkpoints to get from Irvine to the cathedral here, you would have a similar situation to what you've got going on now in Bethlehem, which for for the last, well, several centuries anyway, there was no wall. There was no division. There was only really one intertwined community between Bethlehem and the Christians who are in Jerusalem. Is that correct?
Precisely, yes. And intertwined is a very good way of describing it, because we really are one and the same community that now is separated by a wall. So
it's got to make it very hard. When we come back, I want to make sure that we've had a chance to unfold a little bit more about this film and what it's about. We've had the opportunity to show it here in the Diocese of Orange, and you've been able to show it not only, as you said, in Washington, but throughout the United Kingdom and Australia. And the message of the film is very, very powerful. And I want our listening audience to hear that in detail. How long have you, did you put into this film? You've said you've been working on it for 10 years?
Yes.
So this film is 10 years in the making, right after they started building the wall. So this film is going to document for us what it's been like the last 10 years of trying to put this wall together. So when we come back, Leila, I want to make sure that we start talking a little bit about the film and why it's so important for us to have a chance to look at it. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Leila Sansour, and we're talking about the plight of the Christians in Bethlehem, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, at the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Leila Sansour. And did I say the name right this time?
Correct.
We're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
And we've been talking about the situation in Bethlehem, which is not in Israel, but is within just a couple of miles of Jerusalem in the West Bank.
Yes.
And in the last 10 years or so, Israel has adopted a policy of building a wall. And the wall actually isn't along the claimed border of Israel to the West Bank. It's actually a few miles into the West Bank territory and seals off part of Bethlehem itself, and actually cuts into parts of Bethlehem, dividing parts of Bethlehem away from each other, as I understand it. So my question, before we start talking about the movie, my question is, what was your reaction? Because you weren't living at the time in Bethlehem. You were, at this time, you'd emigrated out to the United Kingdom, to England. And here, your old hometown, they've announced they're going to cordon it off. What was your reaction to that?
Well, maybe I should start by saying that when I grew up in Bethlehem, I always thought Bethlehem was too small for me and maybe too provincial a place, so I wanted to leave it and have bigger experiences abroad. I wanted to live in New York.
Small town Bethlehem,
and
you need to go to the big city.
And yes. I left Bethlehem thinking that I will probably never come back apart from for visits. So when I saw the plans of the wall, I was very, very struck by what they will mean for Bethlehem, because as you just mentioned, the walls, I think, are tragic, I think, developments pretty much in most situations. Dividing people is a tragic thing. But particularly in the case of Bethlehem, because they were not even dividing people, but they were built right inside the areas of the West Bank and Bethlehem, almost encasing some communities inside these walls and taking away from Palestinians the majority of the arable lands and some of the very key landmarks. Like, for example, in Bethlehem, we have a place we're very proud of, a landmark called Kremizan, and it's a vineyard that is produced wines and provided like a forest, like a recreational forest for the local community, as well as made us proud of being one of the very few places in Palestine that produces wine. And
so kind of a winery park type place for the
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly, yeah. So the wall, as it was conceived initially, was supposed to carve out this winery away from Bethlehem, which means, you know, again, changing the way this community operates, changing parts of our agricultural heritage, taking away jobs. So it was all very, very obvious to us that the result of building this wall are going to have dramatic effect on the Bethlehem communities. At the time, I was in London, and I was involved in filmmaking, and I work in the media. And I felt that as somebody who does this job, in the very least, my responsibility was to go and document it. And this is precisely what I did. I went with the view to creating a document of this development, this historic development in Bethlehem. But as maybe some art projects do, this is one of these art projects that ended up changing the life of its of the artist, if you wish. I went to Bethlehem. I very quickly felt that I couldn't just watch this and document this. I felt like I wanted to be an active player in maybe stopping this development, because I could see just how devastated my community was and how challenging it would be to keep us there, for us to stay in Bethlehem if this is going to be a done deal. And so I started Open Bethlehem together with different Bethlehem institutions at the time.
Okay, you said Open Bethlehem. What is that organization, Open Bethlehem? We'll come back to your story in a minute, but just as a positive, what is that?
So Open Bethlehem is an organization that, as I said, tries to bring Bethlehem and what its history, its current affairs, its state today, to the attention of everybody in the world. We're trying to reach out, take Bethlehem and put it in front of everybody in the world and invite people to become ambassadors for our city. We operate from a place that we believe, well, one, we are a very special model in the Middle East. We've survived as a diverse city for centuries. As I said, we have a Muslim community, Christian community. The Christian community is made out of different ethnicities. For example, we have the Syriacs, the Armenians that escaped genocide during the Ottoman times. And
the beginning of the 20th century.
Yes, and sought refuge in Bethlehem. So, and Bethlehem always welcomed these people. Historically as well, I mean, Bethlehem, it's obviously, it's one of the most visited places in the world. Bethlehem knew tourism before the word tourism was coined. You know, we've always welcomed...
Kind of invented tourism, okay.
Yes. We've always welcomed pilgrims from, you know, the 3rd century. There were constantly people coming and they were housing people's homes. So we were always open to peoples from the four corners of the world. And it's one of these places and hubs in the Middle East that has a very wide, broad international outlook in many ways, because it welcomed strangers. It's kind of rubbed shoulders with the world for centuries. So we want to say, we want to keep the city open and wanted to keep it emanating the kind of energy, the kind of hope, the kind of message that it has done for centuries. So we're trying to invite people in and say, well, this is a city whose heritage belongs to all of us, belongs to you too. It belongs to everybody in the world. And we want people to feel that they also stakeholders in helping Bethlehem thrive, remain an open city, and become a vibrant hub, an even more successful hub in the Middle East, because we deserve that.
We're going to come back then to Open Bethlehem, because you've got a very special program you're running as part of that organization. But I now want to go back to your story about the wall and how the documentary of the wall affected you. So you got to Bethlehem, and you found that they were building this wall, and you wanted to be an active player as part of this. So you began doing this documentary. What did making the documentary do to you as a person so that you became part of the story?
Well, because maybe almost 2 or 3 months into filming, I started feeling that I didn't want just to be an observer, but wanted to be an active player. I started effectively a campaign that tried to stop the building of the wall. And as such, it became a very strange dilemma for me. Am I just a filmmaker, or am I trying to achieve something here? Am I an active agent? And the film reflects these dilemmas, and it became a little partly about also starting this campaign, starting this organization. So it took different turns. It's one of these films that from year to year, it looked different and ended up a completely different project than what I thought. In a way, it's a film that documented also a complete change in my own life, because I didn't realize that while I thought I will go to Bethlehem and document the situation for a year, I stayed 8 years and effectively uprooted myself from London and put myself back, created for myself a home in Bethlehem. And for the first time, I would say I was very convinced that the experience I'm having in Bethlehem, fighting for a better world, is a much greater experience than I ever had in London or ever have in New York or other cities. So I think that it made me appreciate that this very special place, an amazing event took place in my city 2,000 years ago, but that this small city, again, is teaching me something that I cannot learn anywhere else.
The symbolism behind it, I think, couldn't be more stark. We, of course, in the United States, have been talking about building separations and walls, but it's a very different thing we're talking about. So I certainly don't want to go into the politics behind all of that here. But in this particular case, where you're talking about the relationship between Jerusalem and Israel and the Palestinian territory and Bethlehem, you have a vibrant community that has always been interrelated and has always gone back and forth and has always had a freedom of movement that in the last 70, 80 years or so has had some disruption, but now this wall is going to create almost a complete separation. And you found yourself drawn into what would become a dire situation for your community that you thought you left behind, but drew you back home in order for you to try to help your people.
Yes.
When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit more about what's in the film, but then I also want to make sure we have a chance to talk with our listening audience about this passport that I have in front of me. Sitting in front of me is a little red document that looks just the same as the passport that I hold, except it says Bethlehem passport on it. And there are ways for all of you to be able to get a hold of one of these. It's very symbolic, and it's also very important to one of these two projects we're talking about today. So, Layla, stick around, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about both the film and this project to raise awareness of the ambassadorship that we're all really being called to have, from the youngest Nobel Prize winner to Pope Francis himself. They've all been involved with this ambassadorship. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick. With me today is Layla Sansour, and we'll see you in just a couple moments.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio here in beautiful Garden Grove, California. And with me today is Layla Sansour. And Layla is a part of an organization called Open Bethlehem. And we've been talking about the plight of Bethlehem and its inhabitants, especially drawing attention to this division that has been imposed on Bethlehem with a wall that's gone around it. And unlike a regular border wall that you might put up between two different countries, Bethlehem has, for the last several hundred years, been an integral part of the life across its border into Jerusalem. And this wall is something that has really grabbed the attention of many people in the world. And Layla has been an important part of raising the awareness for that. I made mention of Pope Francis, and I actually misspoke. It was Pope Benedict who was the first ambassador to receive one of these passports. Is that correct?
Right.
But when Pope Francis came to the Holy Land, he made an unscheduled stop. And I know you weren't there, but you know what happened. So what happened when Pope Francis stopped and got out of his automobile?
Well, it was a very symbolic gesture. And obviously, the sight will live in many people's minds and memory. He stopped by the wall and prayed there. And it was obviously a stop that he wanted to use to symbolize and to draw people's attention to the wall. So it was recognized very strongly by everybody as a way of drawing attention to just how significant this development is.
My understanding is that he kind of surprised his handlers a little bit, stopped his car, got out of the car, went over to a piece of the wall that had some scribbling and writing and graffiti on it, and then came right up next to the wall and knelt his head down and put his hand up and prayed for the people that this wall affects.
Correct. Yeah.
And this is in keeping with what happened before, where when your organization was launched, the first recipient of citizenship, so to speak, in this organization was Pope Benedict on behalf of the people of Jerusalem. So tell me a little bit, what is it that Pope Benedict received? He got one of these little passport booklets. And as I said to the people who are listening, this is about the size of a cell phone. It's a passport. It's red. It looks like the type of passport you'd have from a country, but instead it has Bethlehem as the site. And this is a symbol of your membership as part of this organization that Pope Benedict was a part of. But I also know we've had presidents be a part of this. I know Jimmy Carter has joined onto this. I know that we've got people from all over the world. The Archbishop of Canterbury is part of it. We also had a former president of the Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales, Cardinal Murphy O'Connor, who also has been enrolled in membership of this organization, has also received one of these little maroon passports. So what is this organization and why are these people joining this organization?
Well, I think the situation is really tricky for many people living in this land today. It's particularly tricky and precarious for the Christians of the Holy Land. And I think there is a growing understanding and a sense of urgency to deal with the situation if we don't want to see Christianity disappear as a living faith from the Holy Land. Today we are the guardians of centuries-old traditions of people worshipping in some of the holiest of Christian sites, in the Holy Sepulchre, in Bethlehem, in the Church of the Nativity. When Christian pilgrims come, they don't come to just see museums called empty museums. They come to connect with Christian communities. They pray and worship with these communities. They see a living faith, and this is, and I think it's very chilling that this might disappear. And I think people are beginning to pay attention to that and to realize that something needs to be done in order for Christians to stay in the Holy Land.
So there's been a lot of talk about the Christians that have been forced to leave places like Iraq, where hundreds of thousands have actually emigrated in the wake of the wars that have gone on there, much of which has been centered on religious faith issues and political issues related to religious faith. And that's driven Christians from that area. But what a lot of people don't realize is, at least I think they don't realize it, is that there has been a Christian community that has been living in Bethlehem since the very earliest times of Christianity, when Christianity and Judaism was one, when we had multiple Judaisms and we had a Jesus-believing movement as part of that Judaism that eventually grows out of that into what we would today call the Roman Catholic Church, and that all of our Orthodox traditions, whether it is the Roman Catholic Church or those that have come from that tradition, like the Armenian Rite, you mentioned that they're over there as well, they have had a sustained, consistent 2,000-year presence in Bethlehem.
Oh, yes. I mean, in fact, we are really the first Christian communities in the world, and the Nativity Church in Bethlehem is the first, is the oldest Christian church in the world. When St. Helena...
First church service was when we had the shepherds come to see the baby Jesus there in Bethlehem.
That's correct, yeah, correct. But, I mean, you have to imagine that at the time, during Christ's life, people obviously lived in small communities and knew each other, knew everybody. So after the crucifixion and the resurrection, people in Bethlehem immediately started lighting sacred fires in the cave where Christ was born. And they knew the family. You know, they were communities that knew them directly. So when St. Helena came to seek the holy places of Christianity and to try and build churches, mm-hmm. establish churches on these sites, she found communities already worshiping at these sites. And this is us. This is my, if you wish, ancestors for me who started this. So I am aware and very strongly that I am part of some of the oldest Christian communities in this world. And we definitely have a lot of pride in that. And we want to stay alive.
So what is this organization that issues these little red passports? If I wanted to get one of these, what do I do?
So I think that, as I said, the passport was designed with a view to inviting people to remind them that Bethlehem belongs to them too. And that it is in our power, if we work together, to save Bethlehem, to make it what it can be, a successful open city, which it has enjoyed at the best times in its history. We inviting people to become citizens of Bethlehem by joining our organization as members. And their joining us constitutes a pledge from them that they will work with us and help us inspire a larger amount of people, reach out to wider audiences to inspire them to build connections with Bethlehem, work towards opening the city. We have already, as I said, we now already have thousands of ambassadors, and some of them have shown incredible courage and acumen and resourcefulness. They've imported things from Bethlehem. They partnered with schools. Some people started new pilgrimages that help people come and stay in Bethlehem, because many pilgrims today come and visit the Holy Land but barely spend 1 or 2 hours in Bethlehem. And we want them to stay. We want them to understand the situation better. We want them to connect with Christian communities. And we now have more than 5 of our ambassadors run quite substantial operations, bringing people and allowing them to explore Bethlehem and connect with this community and institutions. So this is our aim. Our aim is to take this message widely, show the film, particularly this year, as widely as possible in the United States. We're inviting people to help us achieve this aim of ours, to reach out to millions of people in the United States and to build 10,000 new citizens, ambassadors for Bethlehem, who can work with us to change what's happening today and to open Bethlehem for everybody and for the world.
So, Leila, if people wanted to actually find out how to go about joining, I take it you have a website that you're able to route them to.
Yes, people can visit our website, www.openbethlehem.org.
Okay, so that's Open Bethlehem, all one word, openbethlehem.org. And it's a .org, not a .com.
Correct.
Okay, so this is a nonprofit organization, and it's openbethlehem.org, and there's a whole page on how to become a Bethlehem citizen and then receive your passport as well.
Yes.
What do they have to do? Is there money involved? Is there just
there is a membership fee.
Is it thousands of dollars?
It's $100.
It's $100. Yes.
Of course, we welcome more if people feel that they can donate more. But we also make exceptions for people who can't, because the aim isn't just to pay your membership fee. The aim is, of course, we need these funds to keep going as an organization, to stay on the road, to keep doing carrying out more events and wider outreach. But the most important thing is that we want people to understand that we are inviting them to make a pledge to help us with safeguarding a city that is so important for all of us. So in a way, when they apply for a passport or apply for their membership, they kind of sign a little pledge that they will do their very best. And we try and help them by guiding them about, and sharing with them ideas about what they can do. From some people, for example, screen the film in their, to their community, in their churches. Some people screen the film in their homes. And that's a way of educating and bringing in more people to understand the situation. But as I said, some people decided to do a grander things and engaged with Bethlehem on a large scale.
And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the screening of the film, and I want to talk a little bit more about what hope there is into the future. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Leila Sansour, who is with Open Bethlehem, and we'll be right back.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Leila Sansour. And Leila has been talking to us about the plight of Bethlehem that has, for the last 10 years, been gradually cordoned off by a very physical wall around it. And unlike some other barriers that people put up around the world, this one actually separates a living relationship in the community between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And as part of this whole process, Leila came back 10 years ago. She'd been born in Bethlehem, stayed in Bethlehem, then left in order to make her fortune in the big city of London, was it? Or you were in England?
London.
And then when this wall was announced, she came back to for 1 year to do a documentary and has stayed for the last 10. Although for this last year or so, it sounds like you're getting quite around, Leila, because I know that you have been in Washington. You've had been back in England. You've had this this movie that you've made aired throughout parts of Australia. And now you're here with us in Southern California. By the time our listening audience hears this program, we will have already aired your program at the Diocese of Orange. And we're working on having a finalization to a date for an airing in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
Right.
So hopefully by the time we get this on the air, we'll have a date come out from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. But at the showing of the film in the Diocese of Orange, Bishop Vann will be presented as well a passport to be part of this organization. My question for you, Leila, really I've got a couple left. One is, if people were interested who weren't able to be part of the showing here in Orange and can't get up to Los Angeles, if they were interested in sponsoring a showing of this movie of yours, how would they go about doing that?
Well, it's very easy. We very much encourage people to organize and host their own screenings. And we're hoping that many churches, many universities and schools would do that.
So, for example, this particular one we just did in the Diocese of Orange was sponsored by the Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, which is an organization that's very, very old. It actually goes back, about 1,000 years or so, along with the Knights of Malta. This is a very old Catholic organization, but it's very prevalent in Orange County. And they got together and were able to sponsor you and your organization to show this here in the Diocese of Orange. So this is something that can be done. How would someone go about doing it if they wanted to do this again?
Well, I encourage everybody to visit our website, because our website does explain how you just get in touch with us. And it's very easy to get in touch with us to tell us what are your ideas. And we try and work with people and with different groups, with different, if you wish, arrangements. We're always open and happy to engage no matter what the arrangements are, because we want to show this film. We want to share our messages and our story with people across America.
The diocese itself is Open Bethlehem, all one word, openbethlehem.org. And you've got a couple of different tabs up towards the top, as I recall, including a screening tab.
Yes.
So people can look to see where it has been screened and where it will be screened. And we're hoping that we'll have another date to be put up there very soon for Southern California, perhaps in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. That should be coming soon.
I think it's the 27th, but we're just waiting to hear the place and the exact time.
So for those people who are interested in this movie is really a documentary about the building of this wall and the impact it's going to have. What are your hopes for the future that are realistic about this whole wall and about Bethlehem and where we go from here?
I think that for Bethlehem to survive, and particularly for the Christian communities of Bethlehem to survive, this wall eventually has to come down. Of course, we understand this is a huge undertaking, and we don't expect it to happen anytime soon. We certainly don't expect it to happen in the absence of a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine. And because of that, we understand the urgency and the importance of working on this agreement and to keeping it alive as an issue that we try and engage the United States, for example, in, so that we can hope to achieve this agreement as soon as possible. Because it is, as I said, it's very urgent for us to have this settled in order for us to move forward and to start building a better region and a better relationship between these two nations in a way that could make people feel more secure about their lives, their livelihoods, their futures, for this wall to come down.
So if we're looking at what we really would like to see happen, we're not asking for much of a political movement. We're not asking for much of a change in the Middle East. We're asking for God's blessing and people's activity to try to bring about a peace between Israel and the West Bank and all the players that are involved there so that we can have a more normalization of the relationships that have existed for the last several hundred years between the Christians and the rest of the people of Bethlehem and the Christians, Jews, and other people of Jerusalem, so that that relationship can be put back to normal or as normal as it used to be.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if we start rolling back into history when we could say it was normal or not normal. But certainly the aspiration is, and it should be, that the aspirations of all the peoples of this land should be respected and met. That's not what's happening. It's something that's eluding us. And we want to bring greater investment in this region of political capital, political will, of also desire of people to help so that we can forge this peace because it's so important.
So this movement isn't an anti-Israel movement. This movement isn't a movement that is a hot button issue, so to speak, on that regard. Otherwise, you wouldn't have people like Pope Benedict join your organization or the other people that are involved. This is about raising awareness and trying to foster an environment that will help on a long-term basis bring about increased peace and eventually bring this new wall down.
Yes, correct. I mean, we believe that the only way to build peace and prosperity for everybody is to genuinely believe that this is not a zero-sum game, that it is about prosperity for everyone. Currently, unfortunately, like I belong to a community, the Palestinians, that are having a very hard time and people are not paying attention to just how badly the Palestinians have been treated. So in a way, I think we very much want the best for Israel, but I think we also want people to pay attention to the fact that we ought to also to want the best for the Palestinians.
It's well put to say we want the best for everyone that's in the region. How can we as members of the world also be members of Bethlehem and to bring about peace? I want to thank you so very much for being with us and for raising your awareness for this. If I want to become a member of this, how do I go about getting one of these little red passports and being part of the organization?
Well, I have a surprise for you.
Oh,
in that I prepared the passport specifically for you.
Well, thank you.
And I really hope that you will join us in good faith and that you will make this pledge and that you will stay the course with us. I'm very, very delighted that you've interviewed me today. And I hope that I will one day host you in Bethlehem, that you will visit me. And that you will be a proud citizen of Bethlehem.
I thank you for that. I look forward to being able to work a little more closely with this whole issue. The issue itself should be near and dear to all of our hearts because it's transcending politics into peace. and it's trying to raise an awareness of the humanity behind it all. This is going beyond anyone's agendas other than how can we help empower the people who live in Bethlehem and the people who live in Jerusalem to be able to have a relationship again that empowers all of us. So, Leila, I want to thank you so very, very much. Once again, for those of you who are listening and are interested, if you go to the website at openbethlehem.org and you pull down their menu, there's a number of different ways that you can find it help. You can find out how to join their organization to receive the passport. You can find a number of ways to enhance what they do. And you can even find information on how to host a screening of this movie. And it's by far worthwhile to take a look at, because to try to end things that separate us is always something about Christ. When Christ comes to us, he comes to us to bring about a reunion where we have communion with each other. So I want to thank you very much for being an ambassador to us from Bethlehem so that we can become ambassadors with you.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing Leila to come to us today to open our hearts and minds just a little bit more to the plight of people in Bethlehem, most especially the Christian community that's there, that is being separated in ways that really are not helpful for them. Help the people in both Israel and in Palestine to find ways to bring about healing, peace, and reconciliation so that not only will peace reign for all, but so will your grace and the prosperity of our world. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today has been Leila Slonsoor, and I want to thank you again so much, Leila, for joining us. And the organization, again, is Open Bethlehem. And if you want to have more information, you can go there at their website, openbethlehem.org. And we will be seeing you again high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, next week. May God richly bless you in all ways.
Everybody, it is Lent here on Immaculate Heart Radio and throughout the world. With us is Wahoo's Fish Taco co-founder, Wing Lam. I understand you have another special for everybody out there this year.
Yes. During Lent, we're going to offer two fish tacos and a glass of wine for $9.99.
Will you come into the store and serve it for them?
Yes, I'll be busing and serving you at all the locations.
And there's 60 of them, so don't miss out. It's Fish Fridays during Lent at Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you.